okay. So I started playing a new video game that's available on PlayStation and Steam.
Okay, what is it?
It's called Stray. You play a fucking cat, and it's the cutest goddamn game I have played in eons.
So it's just a stray cat running around?
So I'm not going to give too much away, because there might be people listening that want to play it or whatever. You essentially play a stray cat in a dystopian future where there are no humans. There are just robots. And you have to, like, find your way back to, like, your friends.
Is there food?
No, but you can make the cat meow, like, crazy, and it's adorable.
Oh, I thought it was, like, you had to, like, forage.
No, you have to find your way back to your friends. Like your kitty friends.
Okay. I was taking it like more literal,
like a stray.
Like a stray cat that is looking for like its people or something.
No.
Or like fending for itself on the street.
Just like look at it. It's adorable.
So it's Gus.
And you have a little, yeah. And you have a little backpack with a drone in it that like helps you do stuff.
That cat is Gus.
Yeah,
I'm suing them.
I mean,
for stealing images of my cat.
You can look up the cat that it was inspired by, and it's essentially Gus.
Yeah.
Gus.
Kind of, not so much Frank. Frank has a derpier face.
Yeah.
Gus had more of a wily face.
Mm-hmm.
What? Oh, what's in the food box? What were you talking about, the food?
Oh, God.
It's snacks?
So Mike and I started doing this box when we were watching this YouTube guy. One of the sponsors was Boxu Box. And you get all of these tasty treats and snacks from Japan. And it's wonderful. And it's a monthly subscription box. We're not sponsored, but it'd be pretty dope if you did. And it's a monthly subscription box, and they just send you these awesome treats from Japan. Some of them are sweet. Some of them are savory. Some of them are fish flavored, which I'm not a fan of, but so good. I ate like half the box today while I was working from home. I was, and I didn't.
What is savory also called? There's another word for it. Umami. Umami.
Sure, yeah.
So that's like gravy.
Yeah.
Or like mashed potatoes has like a savory taste.
Mashed potatoes.
Mm-hmm. I just had mashed potatoes not that long ago. Oh, so you get a snack box. I saw the one and I kind of looked into it, but Greg and I can't have another subscription to anything right now. But it's like snacks from around the world.
That's my friend Janelle gets that, and she always like brings in like random stuff.
But I guess if it was just one country, it would be just as good because...
Yeah.
I mean, then you could try all of their snacks.
All of the things.
And I wonder, too, is it just what's, like, sponsored to get put in the box?
Or is it just a ton of, like, random shit?
Because if I got, like, an American snack box...
Oh, God.
I'd want it to have, like, a Snickers.
Cheetos.
Cheetos is a good one.
Doritos. Carmelo.
That's what you... A Carmelo?
Carmelos are so good.
I was thinking more of like a payday or something.
Oh, yeah.
But then
what if you work hard enough, you'll get $100,000.
But I wonder like what the, or do you just get like a generic snack from that country? Or do you
God.
Get like a name brand, like popular snack?
I would think just generic.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know.
So, like, the American box would have, like, a Zag nut in it. Like,
yuck.
Okay, she doesn't understand this box.
Okay. No, I get the box. Okay.
Oh.
Oh.
The box showcases treats from in different regions of Japan, and each month there's a theme.
Okay.
So, like, this one was regions of Japan. Next month
it was Taste
citrus.
Of Japan.
So, oh,
like
okay.
See, 25 snacks in there with a booklet explaining about the snack, what it tastes like.
Yeah,
because you can't read the box, you can't read the little packages, so it tells you where it came from, how they made it, and like what's in it, and what
allergies,
stuff like that.
That's way cooler than Chelsea explained
it. Thank you.
I'm sorry, Chelsea.
No, that's okay. I really suck at explaining things.
This one does contain tea of some kind.
Ooh.
We got some pretty great green tea. Thanks, Mike, for making me look like an idiot.
You're sometimes not the best at explaining
things. I'm awful at explaining things, and I accept that.
But Mike explained it very well. So you get like... Sorry, just move my chair.
That's okay.
So you get like a citrus snack box and then like a salty snack box from different regions of Japan.
Sure. Okay. Yes.
All right.
I'm very excited for the citrus one. I didn't know that was a thing. Thanks, Mike.
I wonder if is it like gummies?
Ooh.
Like different kinds of chewy citruses?
I don't know.
I guess you'll find out.
I'll find out and I'll let you know.
Is it very expensive?
I can't.
You don't have to give me like the number, but like, is it reasonable?
It's reasonable for what you get.
Okay. So it's reasonable.
Yeah. Anyway, what are we doing?
I don't know what we're doing. There's something else you're... Oh, you told me about the game.
That video game. So fun.
Hmm.
If you have PlayStation Plus, I believe you can get it for free.
I don't know.
I was waiting for Mike to say yes or no. PlayStation Plus Premium. Stray, you should sponsor us. I'm just kidding. Anyway, what are we doing? Hello, everyone. My name's Chelsea.
I'm Erin.
And this is Slasher Movie Review. On tonight's episode of Slasher Movie Review, we're going to Crithan Gifford in The Woman in Black, which came out in 2012. It's an hour and a half long. You can get it on Prime for $2.99. and Apple TV for $3.99 if you don't already own it. I suggest you own it because it's pretty good. It's directed by James Watkins. It's written by Susan Hill, who wrote the novel, and Jane Goldman. It stars Daniel Radcliffe as Arthur. I don't know what he's been in. Let's move on. All of the Harry Potters, Horns, which I highly suggest seeing or reading the book. So good. Uh-huh. Sophie Stuckey, Estella, Arthur's wife. She's in Midsummer Murders, which I was just telling Mike today that I really want to start watching because so many people that we talk about are in that show, and it's like 22 seasons long, and it looks really good. Like, uh-huh. It looks super interesting. Oakley Pendergast, love that name.
That's a pretty great name.
Plays Edward, Arthur and Stella's son. He's just a wee little baby.
Okay.
And I was going to look up how to pronounce his name. Kieran? Okay,
Kieran,
thank you.
Kieran Hines.
Kieran Hines as Mr. Daly. Game of Thrones. The Right. Harry Potter. All of the things.
He's in Harry Potter.
He plays Aberforth Dumbledore.
Sure. I can't remember who that is.
Mike is going to kill me.
I'm kidding,
I hate you. Okay. Janet McTeer as Mrs. Daly, Mr. Daly's wife. She was in Me Before You and Jessica Jones. And then the woman in black, or Jeanette, is played by Liz White. She has not been in a lot of things, so.
Well, her face is covered through, like, the majority of it anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, Kieran Hines was Mance. Oh, I can't think of his name now. And I was just looking at it. Mance Rayder in Game of Thrones. A very interesting character.
I did not watch Game of Thrones, so I don't know what you're talking about.
Another reason I know how to pronounce his name is because I have a friend who's dating a gal named Kira.
Oh.
But when you look at it, it's in America.
Okay.
You would say Sierra because it's C-I-A-R-A. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's pronounced Kira.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's Saoirse Ronan's name. There's like a B in it and all sorts of stuff because it's like a Gaelic name.
Yeah.
So I love it.
So the Eel Marsh House in the film is Cotterstock Hall.
That just sounds lovely.
Which was up for sale not that long ago for a fairly reasonable price.
Mm-hmm.
It's not on this island, though. It doesn't look like...
I would hope not.
No. The island, however, is a real place. It's OC Island. And there is a tidal causeway that goes out to it. So when the tide is out, there's a road.
Mike messaged me saying, Saoirse Ronan doesn't have a B in it. Sorry, everybody. He wanted to make sure to message me that. Thank you. He's writing something else.
Okay.
It's probably, I was thinking of the voice actress that plays in Dimension 20. I think her name. Yeah, that's her. Anyway.
What's her name?
Like,
Siobhan?
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's spelled
S-I-O-B-A-N. H-A-N.
She is super good in Dimension 20 if you like the D&D.
Yeah, it took me a long time to Google how to pronounce her in Twilight, when I read Twilight. Or Breaking Dawn. There's a Siobhan.
Oh, yeah.
She's one of the Irish coven that comes over. I can't remember exactly because it's been a bit, but I'm like, how that it can't be like Saib. I'm like,
Saib? No, not at all.
And then I had to look up pronunciations.
Yeah.
This is about a haunted house, kind of.
Kind of. Like a haunted town, I would say.
Yeah, it kind of reminded me of the one with like the Tooth Fairy Lady a little bit.
Darkness Falls.
Mm-hmm. That's a good one. Like where the whole town is kind of haunted from an evil spirit.
Ugh.
Well, angry, vengeful spirit.
Yeah.
All right. There's three little girls at a tea party. This is, I'm assuming, olden time.
It's 1889.
Yes, olden time. Three little girls at a tea party. They all kind of, something catches their attention. They look. They just drop everything at the tea party, walk over to a window that conveniently has three panels that open. And they all bail out. What?
It's just awful. I tried looking for this teapot, too, and cups, because it's so cute, but I couldn't find any.
Then it, like, pans back from the window, and you're looking over a woman's shoulder in, like, a black lacy dress.
Yes.
The woman in black. That's, like, the first time you see her.
Mm-hmm.
There's kind of a little intro. That's part of it. There's a wedding, a pregnant woman, and then it skips to Arthur thinking about killing himself.
Yeah.
Like, he's shaving. It's very dark. You make the assumption that the wife died during childbirth.
Yes.
Before, like, the next scene pops up. He's leaving for 2 days, leaves his young son with a nanny.
His four-year-old.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Little guy. He's going to work on the estate of Alice Dramblow. A woman who lived out in the marsh who passed away. Arthur's a lawyer. He needs to go out to the house to go through the paperwork because I guess there's like mountains of it. And this was like his final warning at work where he's got to get it together. Kind of a last chance.
I suppose after 4 years, like...
of being super depressed.
Yeah.
Your boss is probably going to want to fire you, yeah.
Yes.
And I'm sure that... they've been cutting him a ton of slack with the depression. But, you know, it's olden times. They're not going to ship him off to therapy. Like, that's not how it worked.
Nope.
They just give you a break or not give you a break.
And we're just like, fuck off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he gets one last chance. He's got to go out to this house in the middle of nowhere. It's like a long train ride and then a long cart ride to get out to this place. But it's his last chance. He falls asleep on the train and has a flashback to when his wife passed away.
It's so sad.
It's so sad.
I can't even imagine.
No, it's fucking terrible.
Like, he's so happy, like, holding on to his kid, and then the doctor and the nurse are just like, oh.
And we have one more thing to tell you as they're, like, pulling the blanket up over
her
face. Yeah.
I think there would be, like, I don't want to say it, but I feel like that there would be a lot of resentment to the kid. Not all the time, but I could see every once in a while it being like, oh my God. Like,
just from watching a lot of horror movies and TV shows and shit where this happens, it can go either way. Sometimes there's like the resentment, and then other times it's like, at least I still have you.
Yes.
And I feel like,
oh, you look just like your mother.
I feel like with his son, it's a, I'm glad that we still have each other. Like, I have a way to remember your mother.
Yeah.
Not like a, because of you, like this happened.
Mike always told me it would be a because of you
type thing.
Yeah.
Well, of course he's going to tell you that.
I know.
Then when you kick the bucket, he's going to tell the kid, like, glad I have you still.
Yeah.
What?
That got dark real quick, but yeah.
A little bit, yeah.
Anywho.
Like, we don't talk about, like, decapitations and, like, all sorts of crazy shit.
That's true. Ugh.
Yeah. On the train, he meets Daly. He gives Daly, you know, basically what he's doing. Daly says he'll drive him. He says also...
He seems pretty cool.
He's pretty cool.
Yeah.
He also hints that they're not going to find a local buyer for the estate.
Yeah.
It's going to have to for sure be somebody from out of town.
I wonder why.
Probably the location. I mean, if you can only drive to this island for like 2 hours a day, it'd be a sweet B&B.
It would be amazing. I would 1,000% rent that bad boy out.
Yeah? Mm-hmm. Ghost and all?
The ghosts.
But like you have to drive down like a tidal causeway to get to it. And they're like, oh, the tide will be out for this many hours. So you won't, or the tide will be in.
That would make a really good serial killer movie.
Or like haunted house movie.
Or haunted house movie where you can't get away.
I mean, I guess in the majority of them, they just blow up the bridge and then they're stuck there with a murderer or ghosts or.
Yeah, that's true.
Some of the other ones we've done.
Put up a.
Force field.
You're not going nowhere, Chris Hemsworth.
All right, so he gets dropped off at the local inn tavern. Says there's no room there. Which, yeah. I mean, there is.
Yeah.
The guy clearly just doesn't want him there.
No outsiders.
Yeah. So his wife shows up. They kind of go back and forth and decide to, okay, if he's going to stay here, then put him in the attic.
And what room is the attic room?
The attic is the room that the three little girls had jumped out of.
Ick.
Yeah. So it's still set up as their bedroom. There's photographs of them, the three girls in the room, toys. There's a headless doll, which I thought was kind of fucked up, like laying on the nightstand. It's like between headboard and nightstand on that one. The locals are all terrified of Arthur. Like, as he's walking down the street, they're like pulling their kids in from outside and shutting the doors, and they just don't want anything to do with him.
Well, because you find out later why. Like, why they don't want any outsiders, like, snooping around the Eel Marsh house.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he doesn't know that.
No.
He meets with Mr. Jerome, who's the local lawyer.
Yeah.
And they basically are pushing him right out. They're like, nope, go get back on the train, leave.
Here's all the paperwork you need.
Yeah, like, here's all the information.
You done here.
And then he argues, like, no, my boss told me I have to go out there. I have to go through all the paperwork. I can't just, like, take this from you and leave. I'll get fired. I mean, all that, those words weren't all said.
But that's essentially what he said.
The gist. He pays somebody, he offers like a shilling to get a carriage ride out to the Eel Marsh house.
Yeah.
The guy says six. Mm-hmm. I'm assuming that's a lot of money for back then. He gets dropped off. As they're out going on their way out, they pass a cross in the marsh. He walks through the graveyard. The house is beautiful. You see the woman in black in the background.
Oh.
When he gets into the house... Or in the house, there's mountains of paperwork.
Yeah.
Everywhere. There's drawers. There's chests of drawers, everything is like shoved full of crap.
He's taken out there and the driver's just like, oh, I can come back and get you at 5 when the tide goes back down.
Mm-hmm. So he has like a decent amount of time like in between the tides. Now I just, where am I at? He finds paperwork that says Nathaniel, age 7, 1889, drowns in marshes, not found.
Ugh.
Mm-hmm.
Gross.
So you kind of like catch on like, okay, that's...
Something terrible happened here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He starts hearing noises. He explores the house. He finds a baby bird and then a raven trapped inside the house.
Yeah.
Which I guess if there's just one old woman living there, like, you're not going to be able to keep up on
what
rooms have birds living in them.
No.
When he lets the bird out, he sees a woman in the graveyard. Then he runs out into the fog. As he's out in the fog, he partially sees a family sinking into the marsh when his ride shows up.
I always wonder, like, quicksand and stuff like that, like, there's no way out of it, or like, you didn't know that the tide was going to be coming in. Like,
I think in that situation, it's marshy on each side of the road when the tide's down.
Yeah.
Maybe their carriage kind of went off the edge.
Yeah.
So they weren't like crashing into the water necessarily. They were crashing into the marsh and getting like sucked down into it.
Ugh. And I have been sucked down to like my waist in that stuff. And it's gross. Like the black muck out at the farm.
Yeah. Was it one of the times I was trying to kill you?
Maybe.
Okay. Hey, Chelsea, walk over here. I wonder if it's over her head. Don't care.
It's fine.
No, I don't ever. I don't ever remember laying that trap.
I don't think so. I don't think you ever plan to kill me.
Mm-hmm.
Shit. Oh. Okay.
Yeah, his ride shows up. He reports it. He reports seeing the carriage thing cute. They kind of, I don't know what they're even doing about it, because they're all like, oh yeah, that's exactly what happened. How do you know?
Weird.
That's weird. As he's sitting there, a sick child shows up with her friends.
This poor little beautiful baby angel kid. She looks so cute.
Yeah.
I just want to squeeze her little cheeks.
Well, when she shows up with her friends or siblings, they tell them that she drank lye and vomits, and then
she throws up blood. Oh.
And then funeral.
and then the funeral.
Well, I mean, they just skip right to it, you know. They don't, like, there's not a lot in between.
Oh my gosh. Everyone blames him, of course.
He's having a drink at the hotel. She tells him to go home. Daly tells him to avoid the subject of children in conversation.
Wait, you skipped some.
What'd I skip?
He's having a drink at the bar with Mrs. Fisher, and then Daly invites him out to dinner to his house.
Oh yeah. Well, yeah. He invited him out to dinner, like, day one, but then it was like...
All of the shit happened.
Come over for dinner the next night or whatever.
Avoid the conversation of children.
Yes.
Yeesh.
Mrs. Daly has little dogs that she treats like kids.
As one does.
Yeah, well, I guess...
This is a little too much, though.
They're, like, dressed up, and they're in little high chairs at the table, and she's spoon-feeding them, and Mike's like, okay, so how's that too much?
Day in the life. Am I right?
Arthur does mention that... Or they mention that Arthur would have been their son's age if their son hadn't passed.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they lost their son.
Yes, I know this. I wrote a family tree in the back.
Convenient.
Because I needed to know whose kids were who.
So when he gets there, that comes up. Like, oh, you would have been our son's age if he lived.
It's just very sad, Nicholas.
Yes. Well, Mrs. Daly kind of starts to lose it at dinner time. And she takes her knife and...
She's like, Nicholas wants to show you something.
Yes. And starts scratching into the table. So then immediately Mr. Daly calls for someone to get drugs. They mm-hmm. need to like sedate her. The son is speaking through her.
Yeah.
This is clear. When Arthur sees what's drawn on the table, it's someone being hanged.
Yeah. And like Mr. Daly doesn't believe in like otherworldly things.
No, he doesn't believe in it at all.
He thinks it's ridiculous and blah, blah, blah.
He thinks it's just her dealing probably with the loss of her son.
Yeah.
A girl accuses Arthur of killing the little girl by being there.
Yeah.
What?
No, I was going through my notes quickly.
He's confronted by townsfolk with a bunch of superstitious rubbish. He charges through the crowd, gets in Daly's car. They said, okay, fine, I'm going to the train station. But then Daly blasts through the crowd of people
and takes
them out to the house.
They're like the rich people in town. Like yes,
they have a car. They have one. There's one car in this town and they have it.
And it's a Rolls Royce.
Is it?
Mm-hmm. I can't remember what exactly it was, but it's a Rolls Royce.
He does at one point make the comment that he's the only one in town with a vehicle because all the commoners are afraid of it or something like that.
Yeah, and he then talks to Arthur about, like, seances and how they just, like, prey on the vulnerable people and, like, all of these things. Like, yeah. Spiritualists are all garbage and, like, blah, blah, blah.
That was later, but maybe not. Well, he takes him out to the house and drops him off, and he's staying the night. Arthur's going to stay the night at the house.
Mm-hmm.
So, just to be safe, Daly leaves his dog with him.
His dog, Spider.
Spider?
Yeah.
That's a good dog name.
I know. It's adorable.
Once again, there's paperwork everywhere. There are, like, some jump scares. Like, there's a ghost hand on the bathroom door.
Yes.
Which is scary.
They have the same kind of thing that the kids had in The Conjuring 2, I think. The thing that spins and
like
there's
a little like carousel thing.
Yeah, and there's an image on the inside. He sees, and that's like right away. Like when he gets there, he sees a woman's face in it.
Oh yeah. So there's a few decent jump scares.
I don't like ghosty jump scares.
Oh, I don't like any jump scares.
Mm.
Like
like that one.
Okay. That was perfect timing.
That was.
At this point, the road is completely submerged.
Ugh.
He finds kind of weird witchy, I called it witchy paperwork. Like,
witchy paperwork.
Like, weird handwritten stuff over pages and...
over pictures and...
Over pictures. One said, God protect me, and a little boy was circled. Well, the dog barks and, of course, draws him out into the graveyard. He sees the grave of Jeanette. Is it Jeanette?
Jeanette.
As he's looking at the grave, you see the lady in black in the window.
Oh, gosh.
Which is a good jump scare.
It's so good.
He goes up into that room and looks out the same window. Because he's, like, not freaked out that bad.
No.
He's keeping it together.
Which, good for him, because I would have been shitting a brick.
He looks out the same window. There's a good jump scare where she's standing right beside him. He finds a note from Jeanette about giving up her son, being betrayed. They took Nathaniel. And had her committed.
Yeah, Alice, her sister.
Mm-hmm.
Alice and Charles Drablo take custody of Nathaniel because Jeanette apparently is crazy. I don't know if she was crazy. Maybe she was just like a medium. Like,
mm-hmm.
Maybe something like that. But yeah, she's like, I'll never forgive you. Blah, blah, blah. All of the things. He's mine.
Well, they have her put in asylum. They take the kid. They're just living their own life now with her baby.
Mm-hmm.
And shortly after, Nathaniel drowns in the marsh. Of course she blames them for it.
Yeah.
Why didn't you save him?
Yeah.
It's her thing. So Jeanette then dies. She hangs herself in the Eelmarsh Manor.
In the nursery.
Yes.
Ugh. Yikes.
Exactly. The woman in black shows up while he's asleep. He wakes up to, like, walking. And the photos have the faces scratched out.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That's creepy.
That's usually a bad sign.
There's a rocking chair thumping in a locked room.
Very vigorously.
Yes. When the door opens, there's, like, a flash of a face, another jump scare.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was weird that he's barehanded holding a candle when normally you'd have a candle in, like, a holder. But he's just holding a big candle, like, the size of this can.
I don't know. It's a big candle.
Yeah. He notices that the wallpaper is, like, flaking off, and he pulls the wallpaper down.
Again.
And, like, in big letters, you could have saved him.
How hard is it to peel off wallpaper?
It's difficult.
Yes.
It's not
easy. I hate it when they have that in movies now, especially now that you pointed it out. I'm like, holy shit, they just peel off this wallpaper like it's nothing.
I don't know. Maybe in, like, the salty sea air, it's easier to pull off wallpaper. But you have
salty sea air. Oh, yeah. Because
steamer.
Because both instances, like, around the water.
Oh, yeah. Maybe the wallpaper at some point just hangs there and you have to
For sure.
Hear it.
That's what it is. Definitely.
Maybe old-timey wallpaper doesn't... No, old-timey wallpaper sticks just as bad as any other wallpaper.
I think it's worse.
Mm-hmm. But you have to, like, steam it off. I don't know. He looks out the window and sees a boy rising out of the muck.
This part is so... Ugh.
It is nasty. The dog is flipping out. Then there's a knocking at the door. Of course, no one's there.
No.
He looks out into the woods, and it's, like, full of ghosts.
I hate it.
I thought that part was spooky. Ugh. This part is, I think, the worst. He goes back inside, and then there's muddy footprints to the bedroom that has the music box and toys and stuff in it. He sees a fast shadow.
Yucky.
A hanged woman, and then the mud boy.
The mud boy.
The mud boy, like, forms into the bed.
The MB.
Yeah. He takes off running, and thankfully, Daly is there to drive him. Conveniently. Just in time. When they get back to town, there's a house fire. Arthur runs in
to try to save the girl. Wild. I didn't really see this coming.
I didn't either. No. I can say that... Well, I guess I'll wait till the end. He runs in and he sees the girl. And as he's going to take her out of the fire, she's with the woman in black. And she takes a lantern and breaks it on herself.
And then she just goes up in flames.
Yeah.
Like a Christmas tree.
He goes to Daly's, gets cleaned up. They're drinking. And he finds out that they had the girl locked up to protect her.
It just breaks my heart. I don't like this.
It is very sad. He talks to Mrs. Daly about what she's kind of seen.
The graveyard. Isn't this when Mrs. Daly is in the graveyard?
She lost her son and others to the tides. The boys he was playing with.
Yeah.
Or hanging out with.
Yeah.
When the woman in black is seen, a child dies.
Which is why they didn't want him to go to the house, because...
Yes.
Yeah.
Because he'd obviously see her there, and then, yeah, they'd start losing children.
Mm.
She kind of trances out at this point. And says, she makes us do it. They took her boy. She takes us. Ours.
Yeah.
And then she picks up a rock violently, like in her trance, and starts scratching a picture on the wall in the cemetery at, like, the mausoleum where her son is.
Yeah.
And it's a train and a boy.
It's a train, a boy, and a tall man.
Yes.
It's awful.
It's awful.
But that's when you kind of figure out that she's like a medium.
Yes.
And she's not one of the prey on vulnerable people. Like, she's legit.
He decides that he's going to try to reunite Jeanette and her son.
Because in a perfect universe, that's what you would ideally need to do. Work. Yeah.
So he talks to Daly because at the time they didn't have the technology to pull the carriage out. Well, now he has his car.
Yeah.
So he can, which I don't think would work.
No.
But anyway.
Not at all.
It seems like they bring a bunch of horses out to do that.
Yeah.
There's a lot of suspense because Arthur ties a rope around his waist, wades out into the muck as Daly is backing up his truck once it's attached to the carriage. And he's like fishing around in it trying to find the boy.
I just don't, there wouldn't be anything left.
Yeah, there would.
Except like bones and stuff.
It's like a bog person.
Oh, shit. No, you're right.
There's stuff there like 5,000 years later.
Yes.
So they find him. It's very suspenseful. I like this part a lot. He says they're lost and they need to find each other. So he cleans him up, wraps him in blankets, puts him in the bed to reunite him with his mother. So you think this is just going to all work out, right?
Yeah. I mean, bang, bang, boom. That's the end of the movie.
No.
We're fine. We're fine here. Oh, it's the worst.
Daly sees his son Nicholas and follows him. Gets locked in a creepy room. The chairs start rocking again. There's like a banshee howling at Arthur.
Hate it. I hate all of it.
Yeah. Daly's freed. They break into the grave and put the son in.
Mm-hmm.
You think...
Cool.
You think that's okay?
It's the worst.
Well, okay. You think that's it? The nanny and Arthur's son had planned on meeting there in 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
Arthur thinks it's done with. He meets them at the tracks. He says, nope, we're getting on the next train. We're leaving. Like,
and Daly is just like, well, come down for dinner sometime. Like, we'd love to have you. Blah, blah, blah.
Yep.
Everything's like, fine.
Everything's fine.
The end.
I mean... I wish, but...
I wish it ended like
this. You can
tell
the end.
So, as they're chit-chatting and stuff, Edward wanders onto the tracks.
Mm-hmm.
Arthur sees the kid and is like, holy shit, my kid, runs to get him, and then...
Is the woman in black there at the time? Okay, that's what I thought.
Yeah, she's there. So then, you think maybe there might be a chance, right? A chance.
Because he jumps and grabs him and you don't really see.
No. But then as the train is going by, Daly sees the woman in black, like on the other side of the tracks,
mm-hmm.
like screaming or whatever she's doing. And then the nursemaid like looks down and is horrified. Then Arthur wakes up with Edward like on the tracks and it's just like dark and weird.
Even, you don't see them even like wake up. You just see... Arthur holding his son, like, curled up next to the track.
Yeah.
Like, they maybe lived.
Yeah. And then all of a sudden, you see Stella. And she's beautiful. She's in this beautiful
white gown.
I
don't think we ever said her name.
Gown. I did.
Oh, you did?
In
okay.
the beginning, yeah. So Stella's there, and it's a happy reunion in Ghost Life.
It kind of reminds me of one that I want to do. Another one. I will write it and
Are
you
writing
you.
It down?
Because so, it's one of my faves. It would be a good fall one.
Fucking depressing. I hate this movie, but I love this movie. Oh, yeah. We've talked about that one a lot.
I think that would be a good fall one.
Yeah, for
the
sure.
Apples.
Yes, the apples.
It's depressing.
Very sad.
And they didn't even, like, fix the issue.
No, because you find out and it like flashes back to Jeanette's picture and everything. And it's just like, I'll never forgive you. Never, ever. It's very dramatic. She's a very dramatic afterlife ghostie.
Well, I mean.
As you would be.
I probably would never forgive you. If, like, me, you, and Mike lived together and I had a baby and you're like, oh, Aaron, crazy. You're committed. I'd be like, what?
Yeah.
No, I guess I don't have that kind of vengeance of never forgiving someone. So I'd probably be like, okay, well, this is my life in my fucking slippers, watching cartoons, eating pudding.
As long as it's not like One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
I don't think they are allowed to do that anymore.
I don't think that that's a thing anymore. I don't think
they're allowed to do any of that anymore. Not that they were in the first place, but...
No. I don't know. I'm very vengeful.
Yeah, you would totally haunt me until I killed myself or something.
Absolutely.
I liked it the first time I saw it, but this is like the second or third and not so much anymore.
It's just depressing.
It's depressing and the... Without... Like, I knew when the jump scares were coming, so it wasn't as scary.
Yeah.
So, like, knowing where the jump scares were, that kind of took everything away.
I would really like to read the book.
Yeah.
I think the book would be good.
They made, like, a series of it. They did, like, mm-hmm. a stage performance
and
of
I
it.
And I think the book's ending is different, too.
I would hope so.
Yeah.
This was kind of like the Mist ending.
I know that in the book... Where
the book doesn't end like that.
I know in the book, Stella is alive. And they're, like, happily married.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. From what I understand. Now, I don't know. I liked it, but you are right. It's, like, one of those movies that once you know where all of the jump scares are, it's like, oh, okay. It's yeah. a good story. It's a really good story, but yes.
Yeah.
I would like to see the second one. I've never seen the second one.
Me neither. And I wonder if that would get more into, like, what...
The backstory more.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, what was Jeanette like? What was her day-to-day routine? What was life on Eel Marsh like?
I imagine a little depressing, but shitty also romantic. As fuck. Did they, like, wrap up in their sweaters once a day and, like, walk out and look over the marshes in the fog?
That'd be cool.
Yeah, pining about their lives. What?
I'd be fine. I often wonder what kind of era I would do best in. I think this era.
When this comes out, won't you be in a sweater, pining, looking at
the moors? Yeah. Actually, what day is that going to be?
I don't know.
I thought Mike was going to message me like, yeah, oh,
you'll be there.
I'll be in like Scotland or something.
Yeah.
Chilling with the cows.
The cows? That's what Scotland holds for you? Cows?
The Highland cows. I just want to boop some snoots while I'm over there.
Not like the amazing herding dogs that they like have a series of like crazy whistles for and the dogs run all over the place doing cool things?
No.
Have you ever watched those videos?
That sounds great. I'm going to now.
Where they're herding sheep and it'll be like four border collies. And each dog has, like, its own type of whistle it responds to. And, like, the whistles determine what direction the dog's going.
You know, it's real fun.
What?
I sometimes
think... Thinking about how smart other dogs are?
In comparison to myself.
Oh. I thought you meant, like,
in comparison Cooper?
To, like, Ruby.
Cooper is not very bright.
No, you have to watch the sheep herding videos. They're crazy.
Is it going to make me sad? Like, oh, Cooper. I know, you know what? I don't want a dog that smart.
Ruby could be that smart, but I don't take the time to train her.
Because she's collie, isn't she? Yeah.
She's a border collie. I should show her the videos and be like, if your mom cared about you, you could be doing shit like this. Instead, she's just like herding turkeys around at Pat's house.
That's okay.
She really likes it, though. She gets down all low and crouches and like makes them go in different directions and gets all happy about it.
That's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
Yeah.
That was The Woman in Black, starring Harry Potter and the dude from Game of Thrones.
Manserator.
This was his film after the Harry Potter series. It was his first film after that.
Didn't he do a video game one? Wasn't he in the one where... It was like choose or die, but not choose or die.
No, that wasn't him. You're thinking of
somebody else. Okay.
Dead Alive or something with Elizabeth Bathory as the video game.
Yeah, that movie wasn't called Dead Alive, though. Are you looking it up right now because I said that?
I don't know. Anyway, I'll do this. You look that up. If you like what you hear and you want to know what we're going to be doing in the future or whatever, follow us on Instagram, /your movie review, all one word, all lowercase. We also have a Facebook page, /your movie review. And also, if you're interested on listening to us again, check us out Friday nights at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on MTRS Radio.
Yes. That's it. Dead Alive was a 1992 horror comedy.
Oh.
Stay Alive.
Stay Alive.
That's the name of it.
Oh, we should. Oh, that one's a good one. Okay. With Frankie Muniz.
Yes, that's who I was thinking of.
You got those two confused?
I mean,
one both was Malcolm in the Middle and the other was the great Harry Potter.
And they both have the same shaggy haircut and they're both skinny and really white and they. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's like a long time ago that I saw this movie.
Oh, yeah. I suppose. Like,
whatever.
It's fine.
They totally look enough. Fine. It's not like I'm confusing them like, oh, wasn't that Daniel Radcliffe? No, it was Frankie Muniz. It's not like that. It's just that's who I was picturing in my head as the character.
Show me. I'm looking at a picture of Frankie Muniz right now and I'm like, eh.
Okay, well, picture him, like, 10 years old, like Harry Potter. Side by side, a little more similar than them as adults.
I mean, they both had troubled pasts.
What?
Anyway.
By being Malcolm in the Middle? And Harry Potter?
I mean, a rough childhood, right?
I feel like those childhoods are very different.
I need a breakdown. We're going to do a breakdown.
Okay.
Not now.
Not now. All right, we're done now.
We're done.
All right, well, I hope everyone has a good night and a good week.
Bye.
Bye.